Well, great again to have you with us. And today we're going to talk about something fun. So we've been in a series for the last few weeks about wholeheartedness. And then we had our friend John sharing with us last week. We've got Mitch coming next time and he'll share on Pentecost Sunday, which is going to be really fun. But today I've almost got like a free run. I've got a free hit. But I really feel that God has been speaking loudly and clearly. And I want to give you a word directly from God to really just speak into your life. And today I want to talk about the good life. And maybe already you're going, what, the good life? I mean, we're in anything but the good life right now. It's just the news is getting badder. But is that even a word? But the news is getting worse. COVID, it feels like it's just cycling. Maybe it'll calm down for a bit, then it'll come back a bit. How on earth can you talk about the good life? But I really do. I want to talk about the good life. And I'm talking about a good life in Jesus that's nothing to do with finance, nothing to do with possessions, and it isn't affected by your circumstances. How good does that sound? And so that's what we're going to take a few moments today and talk to each other about. And let's go on a journey together. Say, hey, have you been feeling a bit worn out? Because I think I have felt this, like a heaviness, like feeling sometimes worn out, feeling like a dryness. And of course, in life, this is the way it goes. It's like highs and lows, ups and downs, and that's what we face. But I want to speak into today and say, hey, let's talk about the good life. Let's step into this and let's see what God says and see, can we get to a place that no matter what we face, we are okay because we are with Him. So let me ask you a few questions. How have you been feeling lately? Have you been feeling heavy? How have you been feeling lately? How has life been, especially over this last year? Maybe you're coming to the end and you're thinking, right, it's back to work, back to life, and I feel like I'm not ready for it, and I feel like have I missed what the opportunity that God had given me? And there's a whole bunch of feelings going on because I've been talking to a whole bunch of people, and they've all got different opinions and different comments, but what I've seen come across on everyone's heart this last while is almost like a heaviness. It's like, is this normal? Am I picking something else up, or what am I supposed to do? And today we're going to speak into it, and we're going to speak life. And how have you been surviving COVID? Maybe that's the correct term. Some of us have had COVID. Maybe you've had to self-isolate. But we just pray that we are coming through it and there will be an end soon. Amen. But how have you been surviving that in terms of business, in terms of the workplace, in terms of your family, in terms of being a home teacher? You know, you're trying to be a teacher for your kids. Maybe you're all trying to do it and you're secretly failing, or internally you've been failing. You're so glad your kids are back to school. But how have you been surviving it? Today we are going to talk about the good life and how do we live in that. Have you been feeling empty? I think at times I felt this over this last few months, feeling emptiness, almost feeling a dryness. Have you felt the dryness? Have you felt like a weariness and maybe even a brokenness and maybe even just feel a bit worn out and saying to yourself, I feel a bit burnt out? Well, I mean, this is a place that we can all get to. And this is a place that God knows about. He has been there. Remember, He says, there's nothing that you can face that I haven't already faced. That's what Jesus said. And so He's always got a word of life to speak into our lives, which can bring transformation and it can bring change. Now, we've got a great time coming up in Northern Ireland. We have this thing in the sky. It's called the sun. We don't get to see Him too much. But over the summer months, we maybe get to see the sun for a week or two. And this is what tends to happen. We tend to get the sun. It tends to come for a couple of weeks. We don't get any rain. We don't bother stockpiling rain over here or big reservoirs because there's no real need. If you've been to Northern Ireland, Ireland before, UK, then you know we get lots of rain. There's no shortage of it. But when we get 2 weeks of sun and the rain does happen to run out, then we start to get this funny thing called a water ban or a hose pipe ban. And we're saying, don't use your hose pipe. You can't wash your car. You can't water your plants. You can't do any of that stuff. But what I notice what happens to the ground, especially if you've got some bare ground, is that it gets really dry, it starts to crack, and it just feels like it's worn out. It feels like it's just worn out, and it feels like it's slowly dying. And I started to think about this for our lives, and I started to think of this like a metaphor for our hearts, and I thought to myself, man, there are times when we just feel like we're slowly dying inside, and we're not sure how to tell, or should we tell anybody? Am I allowed to feel like this as a Christian? Sometimes we feel like we're cracking. You know, it feels like we've been through so many things that we're starting to crack, and it's just the beaten sun comes down in our lives. And just, you know, the issues of life come down and we just feel dry and we feel empty. And you think to yourself, what am I supposed to do? Well, here's the solution. And I've already mentioned it. You need some rain. But a little rain is not going to be good enough. Have you noticed this? So you've got this dry problem, you've got this grind, it's so dry, it's cracking, nothing seems to be growing, and then a tiny sprinkle of rain comes and it has no effect whatsoever. Because what you need is, you need more rain. You need a flood. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I believe the answer to all dryness, all emptiness, all barrenness is a flood, and it's a flood of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like this is a key time because we're coming up to Pentecost Sunday, next Sunday. We've just had Ascension Day, and now we've got 10 days to go. And when you watch this, there's like 7 days to go. And so it's a key time in the Christian church and the Christian calendar where the Holy Spirit was poured out, or is about to be poured out, and suddenly everything's going to change. And the church is going to go from kind of being a tiny bit effective, doing great things, and Jesus is there, until suddenly he goes to the cross, everything changes, and then he says, I got to leave. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and the church has never been the same again, because he didn't just come in a small form. He came like a flood. He came like a wind. He came like a fire, and he set the church ablaze that it could never be stopped ever again. And it's absolutely incredible. But when you talk about the church, we talk about each other. And we said today, Lord, how do I make it through in those times when it's not easy? In those times where I'm feeling empty. And maybe for you, it's become a recurring place. Maybe for you, this dry spell has become a long season. And you're thinking to yourself, when am I getting out of this thing? And you're looking at other people's lives and you're saying, well, look, they don't seem to struggle with what I struggle with. What is going on, Lord? And we're going to answer all those questions and we're going to dig into them today. And so we're going to work this out together. But I'm going to tell you this, before we get to the end, you're going to the solution. It's always a flood. It is always a flood. And that's what we're going to pray for. And that's what we're going to believe for today, that we're going to experience a flood of the Holy Spirit, because he affects all dryness and emptiness, and he takes care of all things. Just in the natural, it's the same in the spiritual. So what can we do? What can we do to live like that? In terms of, if we're facing that, how can we live in the Spirit, and how can we experience this flood? Well, here's what I find, is that sometimes it doesn't even matter how much you read, doesn't even matter how much you pray, doesn't even matter how much you worship, you still feel that emptiness and that dryness. And does that make sense? And again, because what we need is a flood. And it's like that grind. You could bring your friends around, you could get a rake, you could get a, I don't know what you could get, but you could get a rake and a spade and you could toss that soil up and it's not going to matter. Because the answer is not messing about more with the soil. The answer is not there. The answer needs to come from above. The rains need to come, a flood need to come, and something else needs to take place. And I'm encouraging us today that yes, reading is profitable, and yes, praying is wise, and yes, worshiping the Lord is something we should do all the time, but what we really need is a flood of the Holy Spirit, and he will come and saturate all things. You ever had like a, I don't know, like a cup of water and it's spilt off the table? It goes everywhere. I mean, I could tell you funny story after funny story for Nikki, but I'm not going to embarrass you today. But suffice to say this, that one time we were trying to have pizza and Nikki was trying to pour in some Coke or 7-Up into a cup, and not only did she spread over the whole table, which then she managed to spread all over my brother-in-law, Mark. And we had a good laugh, but it gets everywhere. Once that thing gets out of the cup, once that thing gets out of the bottle, it goes everywhere. And it's the same with the flood of the Holy Spirit. His love goes everywhere, and it goes into every place in our lives. And suddenly those dry places that we thought could never be saturated again, they start to come alive again. And suddenly those other places that we thought it was just always going to be like this, suddenly change. And then other areas that we didn't even know about start to change. And they need to change, because as Christians, we're called to be fully alive in the Spirit. We're called to be fully alive in Christ. And so how are we going to do this thing, and how are we going to get there? Let's take a look at a couple of different things. The first one is John 10:10. This is so important. This is a verse that you probably know really well. Again, if you've been around Vibe for a while, this is a verse that we love. It's almost like a life verse for us in Vibe. It's just such a great verse. It says this, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." This is what Jesus was saying. But the important part of this verse is that there are two plans. There's always two plans at work. I mean, I guess there's good and evil, or there's God and there's something else, which is the enemy. And God says, well, I've got a great plan. And my plan is abundance. It's full life. It's that you would know the flood of the Spirit, that you would know the fullness of the Spirit. You would walk in the Spirit. You would know all of these great things. But the enemy has a great plan also. One of his main plans is to deceive you, distract you, to get you divided from other people and from other things and from God himself. And fundamentally what it says here, to kill, steal, and destroy your life in every aspect and in every way. And this is the plan of the enemy. And what we have to decide is, what plan are we going to follow through? Now, here's what I've found personally in my life. If I don't decide to follow after Christ, I'm naturally going the other way. It doesn't seem to work any other way. I've not found any people that just naturally slide into the things of God. You have to put some effort in. You've got to put your hand to the plow, is what Jesus spoke about way back in the New Testament. He said, you've got to put your hand to the plow. I mean, you've got to put some effort in. But it's not self-effort. It's effort through the Spirit. But the grace of God is upon me, and he's called me to push out and to push ahead and to persevere and to keep my eyes fixed on him. Because if I don't do that, I naturally start to drift and I naturally start to slide away, because the enemy's got a plan. And if we're not pursuing God's plan, we're naturally going to get captivated and pulled into the plan of the enemy. And what's his goal? Kill, steal, and destroy. In the workplace, in your family, in your friends, in your life. And ultimately get you to a dry, barren place where even though you've got the things of God in your life, you feel totally ineffective in the things of God. So number one is, I guess we've got to recognize that there's two plans, and we've got to accept that we must pursue after the things of God. How has that been going for you in your life? I mean, again, the lie of life, or the lie of ourselves sometimes, is that all I have to do is pray a bit, all I have to do is follow after God a bit, and my life will be okay. We've got to get real. There is a plan. There is an enemy, and he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's persistent, and he keeps coming, and he keeps coming, he keeps coming. So we have to be forceful in our pursuit of God. We have to be mindful in our pursuit of God, and we cannot be lazy and, you know, falling asleep and different things like that. We've got to be alert. We've got to be alert, and there's got to be an urgency on our hearts, because we've never had days like these. And there's an urgency for the message to get out, because we've never had opportunity like this. And then the second thing is, if you're going to have a flood, you've got to find water. Now, in my story that I shared earlier, is that you're hoping for the rains to come, and usually our weather obliges pretty well. We get some good rain, and then before you know it, hose pipe ban is off, and now you're free to do whatever you want. And we're like, oh, we're gonna sick. We always get more rain. But in the Spirit, what we need is, we need living water. And Jesus spoke exactly about this. John 7, verses 37 to 39. Let me read it to you. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now remember these two words, thirst, drink. Whenever you're thirsty, you gotta drink. Whenever you're thirsty, you gotta drink. Nothing else satisfies thirst. Only drink. Remember this. When we, as Christians in our lives, if you're a Christian today, if you're thirsty and empty and barren in your life, in any aspect of your life, you need to drink. Now, the only drink that's going to satisfy you is spiritual drink. It's the things of God. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, Jesus talking about himself, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now notice this again. It's heart, it's rivers, and it's water. I mean, it all flows. If you're thirsty, you need a drink. The issues of life come from your heart. If God's in your heart, then it's going to flow rivers from your heart, and it's going to affect your life, and water's going to move. The Spirit's going to move. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Spirit's so important. We've got to remember, the only one that's here on earth with us is the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. He's not an it, he's a person, and he's with us. Jesus is not here, and the Father's not here. They're in heaven. The Bible makes it very clear. Now, of course, we know God fills the whole universe. He's in every space and every place, but it's the Holy Spirit who specifically is here for us today, and he's here for good reason, because only he can do what he can do, and what he can do is incredible. He floods and fills us. But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So here you have, you've got the Feast of the Tabernacles. Jesus is there. It's the last day of the feast. It's the seventh day. It's the final day. And Jesus gets up and he speaks to the people. And he's telling them of things to come, which will be effective in the future, but are not there yet, because he's not been glorified, which simply means he's not went to the cross yet. He's not ascended into glory. He has not been glorified. When Jesus went back to heaven, it was a glorious occasion. When he comes back to earth, it will be a glorious occasion. But on this time, at this moment, it's talking about Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and going back to heaven. Now, what we know in our life, that's happened, and then the Holy Spirit was poured out. But the point of this story is, if you're thirsty, you need a drink. In other words, you can know water that never runs out. You can know a life that is never lacking. You can be always overflowing in the things of God. And how do you do it? That's what we're going to look at. Number one, Jesus waited his moment. On the last day of the feast, something incredible took place in the ceremony. Now, if you check this out, what would happen is they'd bring out all these pots of jars and they would pour out the water, and it would be a sign of abundance. And what Jesus said is, hey, he stood up and he grabbed everybody's attention with water because water was being poured out. He says, hey, I've got to tell you about new water. There's a day coming, there's going to be living water. It's not going to be old water or past water. It's going to be fresh, living water all of the time. So we're celebrating the past, but I tell you what, there's a future coming that's better than anything you've ever seen or heard before. This is why God needs to grab your attention today. This has already taken place for us. This has already happened. And so we can step into these floods. We can step into this living water, and we can experience this living water in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And I believe at the end of our time today, we are going to experience. But hey, let's not hold back. Holy Spirit, fill us and flood us right now in Jesus' name, because you know what we need of. And so Jesus speaks of living water, and this is incredible. Point number two is Jesus says you need to come and drink. And this is so important for us because, again, we believe that you've got to experience the Holy Spirit. You've got to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's not a salvation thing. It's a more thing. It's there's more in God. And Jesus says, hey, you can come to me, but there's something in it. Your faith has to be more than just coming. It's got to be eating and drinking. It's got to be experiential. It's got to be over and over again. And so in the same way in our lives, like, we got to eat every day, got to drink every day, unless you're fasting. But you know, you can't last for very long. You got to eat and drink. That's the way you've been naturally created. Well, even more so in the Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you a question. In your dryness and your emptiness, when was the last time you drank from the Spirit? When was the last time you drank from the things of God and it began to refresh you? Now, here's the thing. Remember, when you just have a little bit of water on hard ground and on a hard heart, it has no effect. You need a flood. And if you've been trying to open the tap a tiny bit and I'll have 15 minutes of prayer and I'll have 15 minutes of worship and that would be me sort of, it's not going to work. It's got to come like a deluge. It's got to come like a flood. I mean, when we go to Tenerife, the girls love Tenerife. I love it too, probably more. We go to this water park. We've been 2 or 3 times. And in the middle of the water park, there's this bucket that fills up. And then the siren goes every like 10, 15 minutes when it's full. And then they just flop it out. And then just gallon after gallon, liter after liter of water, it's kind of semi-hot, just goes over everybody. And the kids love it. It is incredible. But I tell you what, they're in no control. They can barely stand up. It hits them like a flood. That's the type of thing we need. If you've been going day after day in hardness and dryness and emptiness, you need a flood, and you got to step out of control. Jesus said, come to me and drink. And anytime you feel thirsty, empty, or tired, it is a drinking issue. It's not anything else. Here's what I find sometimes. Again, just like our metaphor, you could put a tiny bit of water on the soil and say to yourself, well, it's having no effect, so we'll go do something else. Christians, as Christians, we do this all the time. I've had a tiny bit of Jesus. I've went into his presence. I've done a Bible study. It seems to be having no effect. Here's the problem. You need more of it. It's not that you need something else. You've got the right thing. You've got the right solution. It just needs to be unleashed. You need a flood. And when we come to Christ, we get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes inside of our lives. We have him. Our lives are forever changed. We've got the Spirit of God living inside of us. But he needs to be released so that it's rivers that come from our hearts. It's rivers that come from our bellies. And suddenly we have a life source that affects every aspect of our lives. And dry, barren seasons just get flooded out. They just get affected. It's not that we don't face them, but they get flooded out. And then we start to be a blessing to everybody. Else. That's the life I'm calling you to. That's the good life. That's the good life of Christ. It's not enough to come. You need to drink. Point number three, rivers from your heart. This is what I love. It says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Wow. Here is the incredible truth of Jesus, which is so much better than my metaphor that I give earlier on. The flood to fix the earlier problem, when the sun has beat up the ground and the ground is barren and it's empty and it's cracked and it's dry, is that a flood needs to come from the heavens and just wash this thing out. Now, for us, we can experience a flood from the heavens, and that's powerful. But can I tell you, and here's a great truth, the Holy Spirit is already inside of you as a believer in Christ. And so when you feel empty, it's just a feeling. It's not the truth. When you feel barren, it's a feeling. It's not the truth. Whenever you feel dry, it's an emotion. It's a feeling, but it's not the truth. Because when you're a new creation in Christ, you are forever changed. And God cannot break his promises. And you know what he says? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what's going on? Well, here's what I find. Again, on the inside, I'm being renewed every day. But on the outside, in terms of my mind, will, and emotions, the things I think, my moods, my attitudes, my speaking, my everything, my looks, you know, all of that, I've got to yield it. All of that I've got to surrender. Otherwise, guess what happens? Some feelings start to set in. I start to feel like she doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. I'm feeling a bit moody. I'm this, I'm that. And I start to create this hard exterior. I start to create this hard-heartedness. It's like I'm like that soil and I'm hard on the surface, but actually underneath I'm soft. But you would never know because you can't get through. And literally, I can't get through either. And so I build walls of defense, or I naturally build up this hardness because of just my attitude or somebody else's attitude to me. And that's how the enemy gains control. And that's how the enemy wins and he gets a foothold in our lives, because inside the Spirit is good. The Spirit is good. He cannot overthrow the Spirit, but it's those little pockets on the outside. It's those little places that I won't give up to the things of God. And he starts to, the enemy comes and he gets a foothold. And then suddenly I find myself, even though I'm alive on the inside, I'm dead on the outside. And I need a flood to come and fix these things. But what about that for a truth? Whenever you feel that you are alone or empty or dry, you never really, it's a feeling, it's an emotion. And that's legitimate. But God is at work and the Holy Spirit's inside of you. He just needs released. Amen. He just needs released. And we're praying it happens today. Point number four, the river flows from the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is what I love. This is not about us. This is about the Holy Spirit. And he wasn't available then in the scripture that we just read way back in chapter 7. But he's available today because Jesus has been fully glorified. And so now we have the Holy Spirit. And so now we can step into this fullness and you can have this true life here today. You can have it this moment. You can have it right now. In fact, I believe the Holy Spirit's already moving. He's already moving in your heart and life. You're already starting to experience something. You're already starting to feel something. And if you're not, don't worry. He's better than a feeling. You just have to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you've got faith, you can move mountains. You can move anything. You can change anything if you've got faith in God. So here's my question today. Have you made the incredible discovery of the Spirit-filled life? Because this is really the solution to everything. Have you made this discovery? You're a Christian. Hey, let's take that. You're a Christian. If you're not, then you need to accept Jesus into your life today. But if you've done that, then you've experienced a freedom. You've experienced a freedom from sin. But what you need is ongoing freedom every day. Not that you need your sins forgiven anymore, because that's already taken care of. Now, there's an ongoing work of sanctification, and we'll talk more of that another day. But Jesus, his forgiveness, the cross, it's a once-only thing. It's a once-for-all. You can be rest assured in that. You have no need to worry on that anymore. But as you go through life, you recognize that there's still sin about, there's still issues about, there's still people about, you're still about, and we tend to find ourselves in a world that's constantly trying to attack us, and we live in a world that the enemy's still prowling around like a roaring lion. It says, like a roaring lion. He isn't one, but he's like one. He's just pretending to be, but he's here to deceive us, and he's here to get us to be dishonest and get us divided like we mentioned. And if he can, he wants to create a separation again between living fully in God and just being a kind of a lazy, boring Christian. Hey, heaven forbid that. But do you know what I'm saying? He wants us to live below the line. He doesn't want us to live above. He doesn't want us to certainly do anything exciting for the things of God, because he wants us to live the life that being a Christian's boring and there's nothing good that you could ever do. But can I tell you that living a full life in Christ, and when you have discovered the incredible life in the Spirit, a Spirit-filled life, you'll live a life that's so exciting you can't even make it up. It's just ridiculous. You will read your journals, your blogs from the last year, the last 6 months, and go, that can't even be real. Only the fact that I wrote it is the only reason I believe it. Amen? You see, the Spirit-filled life is an incredible life. Read the life of Paul in the New Testament. Read the life of Jesus. Read the life of the early disciples. It will blow your socks off. One minute they were here and then we were there, teleported. Another minute they're just walking past and their shadows transforming and healing people. Another minute they're praying over handkerchiefs, tissues, and they're sending them all around the country and people are getting healed. Another minute they're praying for the sick and they're just instantly getting healed. Just everything's taking place. Eyes are opening. Leprosy's disappeared. It was just incredible because they knew how to live in the Spirit. And when you live in the Spirit, there's a flood. There's a flood not only in your life, but there's a flood coming out of your life, and it affects people's life. And what's the cure for dryness? It's a flood. What's the cure for thirstiness? It's to drink. And we have this. And not only do we have this, but as the Lord charges us and fills us, we can affect the world forever, and it will never be the same again. Galatians 5:16, it says this, "So I say, walk by the Spirit," or walk in the Spirit, "and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." This is the desire, and this should be the desire of every person's heart. But if you don't know it, then you don't know to desire it. So I'm telling you this, Bible makes it really clear. Look at the book of Acts, especially Acts chapter 19. They'll say to the disciples, "Have you experienced the Holy Spirit? Do you know this Spirit-filled life? Do you know this life led by the Spirit?" And they're like, "We've no clue. All we heard about was John. We heard about Jesus, but what's this you talk about?" And I'm telling you today about a Spirit-filled life that says there's more. Jesus takes care of our salvation, but the Holy Spirit comes to give us fullness of life every day, and he comes like a flood, and he comes to move like a flood. So how do we receive this, and how do we get this? Well, again, it is experiential, but how do we get it? What do we need to do? Let me give you four quick, really quick, simple points today, just maybe to write down, make a note on your phone, or just simply keep them in your mind, and then pray afterwards, and we're going to pray in just a moment. The first one is you got to seek and desire. You got to sincerely seek and desire to be empowered and directed by the Holy Spirit. You know, like in the same way as Jesus, he asked the disciples to come follow him. And as they came follow him, they had a desire to be empowered by him, led by him, coached by him, encouraged by him. And they had a desire to be directed by him. They said, well, Lord, okay, we'll give up everything. We'll come follow you. It's exactly the same with the Holy Spirit. We have to seek and desire him. We have to say, I'm hungry for you, Lord. I want more of you, Holy Spirit. And I want you to direct me and empower me. Matthew 5:6 makes it so plain. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's a clue for what was to come. It's a clue for us today. If you're thirsty and you're hungry, it's a clue to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. It's not that you need more stuff. It's not that you need a gym membership. It's not that you need a new relationship. It's not that you need to leave your church. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. Or you're maybe contemplating all those things. Maybe you've just done them. But can I tell you what you need is? You need to be filled. You will be filled if you hunger and thirst, but for the right things, for righteousness. Number two, we've got to make room. Hey, if you're going to be filled, you got to make room. There's nothing worse than you're bringing something new home, but you haven't got room to put it in. It's like you got to clear the room first if you're going to bring the new furniture or the new items in. It's exactly the same for us. Hey, if I'm going to come pick you up, I'm going to make sure to clear my car, hopefully. I'm going to clear it out because I want to make sure there's room in the car to get you in. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. And it's the same for us. We've got to seek and desire the things of God. We've got to make room. And how do we do that? Well, primarily it's confess. We've got to confess our sins. And maybe for you, it's not a big sin of gambling or addiction or, you know, any of those things because, hey, you're a Christian and you're trying to live a good life. But what if you're trying to do it by yourself? What if you've been trying to do it more often than not in your own strength? Well, I mean, that's a sin as good as any other sin. We've got to repent from that. We've got to turn around from that and say, okay, God, I want to do it in your strength. I got to confess that. And then, after that, we got to thank God. We got to thank God because he's such a good God and he's forgiven me my past, my present, and my future. And this is so important because for so many people, we're still living in the past. We're still being affected by the past to a detriment and we can't move into this fullness of life. And we said to ourselves, well, hey, I don't even deserve the good life. I don't even deserve the full life. Like, what's the point me having that? Because, hey, I don't deserve it whatsoever. I don't deserve the things of God. And so we need him to take care of that so he can set us free from that. Point number three is we need him to take over. We need to present our lives in every area of our lives. If I'm going to experience the Holy Spirit, if I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, I'm going to have to present my life. I'm going to say, hey, take over, Lord. I want you to take control of me. I want you to take control. It's the same we talked about the flood. If the flood's going to come, you can't expect to stay somewhat dry. It's going to completely saturate you. It's probably going to push you over. Ever been in the ocean when the waves come and the floods come and you can't even stand? It just pushes you right over. And you say to yourself, oh my gosh, I can't do this thing. Because when the flood comes with violence and force, it just takes you right over. But always remember this, the Holy Spirit is so kind and he's so gentle and he's so generous. If I'm going to give myself up, I'm going to have to give myself up so that he can fill me up. That's really the truth of what we're saying. And then last point, point number four is by faith. We've got to receive it by faith. We've got to claim the fullness of God by faith. We've got to claim the fullness of the Spirit by faith. Here's what 1 John says. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we have asked him. This is the confidence that we have in God. He says, hey, if you want good gifts and if you want the Holy Spirit, simply ask me. In fact, if your earthly father knows how to give you good gifts, how much more will your heavenly father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? That's what it says in Matthew 6. Guys, I encourage you so much. We need to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. I don't know if you've discovered it yet, but have you discovered the full life, the Spirit-led life? It's the only life to live. It's the one that's going to transform you in every aspect of your life. Otherwise, it just feels like this faith thing is too hard to process. It's just too hard to get your head around. It's just too hard. And you're going to suffer with this emptiness thing. You're going to suffer with the dryness thing. And you're never going to fully shake it or get rid of it. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes and He fully saturates and He fully floods you. You see, faith is greater than any feelings. And as we pray today, I don't want us to get disillusioned by our feelings, because sometimes our feelings, they're important. Hey, they're important data. They're important information. But they're not good leaders. They are not good leaders for our lives. Anytime our feelings lead our lives, we're going to wind up in trouble. It might work out, but there's a good chance that it doesn't work out. I want to move by faith. I want to believe what the Word says. I want to receive this by faith. And even when I don't feel it, and even when I'm not sure, I'm going to trust what God says, because I know He's promised me a good life. I know what John 10:10 says. Thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But that's not who I follow. That's not the plan I'm after. I'm after the plan of God, which just says fullness and abundance. Fullness and abundance. I can have a solution to this dryness, to this emptiness, and I can know an overflow every single day. And the answer to thirst is always a flood. It's not a tiny bit of water, it's always a flood. And I need a flood. Now, last thought today is, when was the last time you thought about a flood? Well, maybe like me, you go back to Genesis and you think about a flood. And the flood that came back then was through the form of Noah, and he built an ark and it ultimately destroyed the world. God started over. But he made an incredible promise. He says, I will never do that again. But here's what's super interesting. Then when the Holy Spirit comes, it says that He comes and He dwells in us, because we have been made temples of the Holy Spirit. We suddenly become temples of the Holy Spirit. And now, instead of a flood coming from God, a flood comes from us. From God into us, but it comes from us. And now, instead of the world being affected by a flood that would destroy, it's supposed to be a flood that will love. And so what we need in our lives is that we need the love of God, that just that would flood into our hearts, and it would flood and affect our lives, so that we would never be the same, so it would move and affect the world around us, because what the world needs is a flood of love like never before. I mean, if there's ever been a time, we need it today, and we're going to need it tomorrow, we're going to need it the next day until the Lord comes. We need love to flood, and His solution and His idea was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here today, and He's with you, and He wants to flood into your life so you would never be the same again. Come on, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. And I want you to pray with expectation. Remember what we said. I'm going to seek Him. I've got to be open to the things of God. I'm going to be hungry. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm hungry. I thirst. I want this. I'm going to make room. I'm going to be fine for You to take over. And then I'm going to pray, Lord, come and fill me. Lord, come and flood me. Because this is what I need. I want to live the good life. No matter about possessions, no matter about circumstances, no matter what I face, I want to know the Lord's empowerment and abundance in my life. And I'm sick of the dryness, and I'm sick of the emptiness, and I'm sick of the heaviness. I need the Lord to move through me. So this we're going to pray for. Come on, let's get excited just for a moment, because we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit would move. So let's posture our hearts. Hey, if you're a Christian, let's open up our hands. If you're not, we're going to pray in just a moment that the Holy Spirit would come and convict your heart and your life would never be the same again. So Lord, I pray, Lord, for those that don't know You or those that are far from You. I pray, Lord, for anyone that's never made a decision to follow after Christ, and yet you know in your heart you need to get right with God, and you know in your heart there's just things in your life that are just no good. And if you were to stand before a perfect God, you know that your life would not be good enough, and you would not make it to eternity. You would never make it to heaven. And so I pray today, Lord, that we would pray and we believe together. All it requires is faith in Jesus, that you would trust Jesus, give your life to Jesus, and live your life after Him. And if we're faithful to do that, He's faithful to forgive our sins, make us a new creation, and our lives will never be the same again. So I pray today for anyone that needs that, anybody that's crying out for forgiveness, they would receive it right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians. Come on, we just posture our heart. We pray today, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come and flood us and fill us? And I'm so grateful, Lord, that it's an experiential thing, but it's not limited to just feelings. It's what I know, and I know what the Word says. And the Word tells me that the Lord wants to come like a flood, and He said it right back from Matthew 7, that the Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to flood your heart, and from your heart is going to come rivers of living water. And so I pray today for rivers of living water that would come and it would flow through us, so our lives would never be the same again. And wherever the river flows, life flows. And everything that touches, it affects for the good. And so I pray in our hearts, Lord, and I pray in our lives, Lord, that we will affect the world around us. We are always ready to pour out. We're always ready to give, as long as the water is flowing, as long as the flood is coming, as long as the Holy Spirit is here. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, would you overwhelm us? Would you overflow us? And I pray right now, those that are serious and genuine for the things of God, those that are making room right now, we're just confessing some things. We're just saying, Lord, I've tried to do it my own strength for too long. Lord, I need you to take over. And we simply say, Holy Spirit, come. And we pray it right now in Jesus' name. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, would you invade every home, every life, every heart, and allow our lives to never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thanks so much. And I pray that you would continually seek God. Remember what we said, it's not just once, it's again and again and again, like every day you get hungry. Remind yourself of that. Every time you take a drink, every time you eat, just say, okay, I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the Holy Spirit, because He will affect my thirst issues. He will affect my barrenness. He will affect my emptiness. It's always drink, 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 drink. And so I pray that you will be blessed and you'll continue to do that. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We're so blessed you could join us. If you need any help in any way or you want to ask any questions, it's hello@vibeni.com. Send us an email. We'll do our best to answer it. I pray you'd enjoy this last song. I pray it speaks to you. I pray that just even during this worship, that again, you would open up your heart and receive more of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would get yourself ready with expectation and with thankfulness. Begin to thank the Lord, because He is doing a fresh and a new work in you, and your life will no longer be the same any longer. Amen. Thanks so much, guys, and see you soon.